Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Who ate too much? Anybody? Turn it on. I partook of some turkey myself. How many of you guys actually try to think outside the box sometimes when you eat something totally not Thanksgiving-like? Anybody? Like, what'd you eat? Anybody? Lasagna. Good. I like that. Anybody else eat something they particularly don't eat it on Thanksgiving? What's that? Ribs. I would eat those. That'd be good. Anybody else? What'd you eat? Chicken noodles. How many of you guys are chicken noodles on Thanksgiving? That's what I'm talking about. My granny used to make a good mean pot of chicken noodles. It was real good. But actually, the Hay side, which is my side of the family, we did something totally different this last week, and we ate Mexican. Anybody eat Mexican? Okay, good. See? You guys know what I'm talking about. How many of you guys are turkey people? Turkey? Okay, how many of you guys are ham people? Anybody eat a ham? Okay. How many of you guys are pecan pie? Pecan pie. Okay, how many about pumpkin? Pumpkin? How many about both? Okay. What about that little, that whipped cream bread with, you know, what's that called? Cranberries, yeah, grape, whatever, thingies. That's the best stuff. How many of you like that? That red pink stuff? Oh yeah, my mother-in-law makes a mean pink whatever. Cranberry pudding something. Well, hopefully you did have a great Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Amen? We do. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for all the things that God has blessed me with, and I hope that you feel blessed as well. I do want you to remember, though, that not everybody's as blessed as we are. So be thanking of them and be looking out for them and how you can minister to them. That's one of the things that I love about our church. We desire to give things away. In other words, coats and boxes full of, you know, stuff that kids overseas can receive. And I just love that about our church. And I want to continue to do that. And I commit to the church to continue to use your money that you give, which you work hard for, to give it away so that others can have their needs met. Amen? We're going to continue to do that forever. I actually got to listen to Todd Mitchell when I was gone. Anybody here when Todd Mitchell spoke? The Alabama dude? Yeah, that guy. The guy that talked like slow, really slow, like an Alabama kind of does. Well, it was just amazing to me. I enjoyed his preaching. I don't know about you, but he did a great job. Really enjoyed it. I liked his binding contract, illustration and all that stuff. And I just thank God for people like Todd Mitchell who will come. Who actually, he said it, but I think he lives in his, what is it called? Travel trailer in a parking lot in Waxahachie, Oklahoma. So that he can be mobile and do whatever the Lord tells him to do. So that was a cool thing. And I really appreciate Todd doing that. I don't know if he'll listen to this online or what, but I want to thank him for doing that. Well, the last couple weeks, we've been looking at a series which I've been calling You Can Lead a Horse to Water, but you can't make him drink, right? The first part we looked at Jesus' favorite word. Remember what his favorite word was? Come. Remember that? Come, and I will give you what? Living water. And if we accept him into our lives personally, we can experience that living water. And then part two, last week we looked at the reasons why many Christians, even us as Christians, when we accept Christ into our lives, we still continue to drink from the tank of temptation, the cistern of sin, the windmill of wrongdoing. Remember those? I was kind of proud of those, so I wanted to say them again. But we looked at four reasons why oftentimes Christians don't continue or don't stop drinking from the tank of temptation. Remember those? Well, the first one is we're not truly saved. there are signs that tell us whether we're saved or not. One of those signs is the sign or the conviction of sin. If you can go out and you can sin and do things that are against the holy word of God, listen, if you don't have conviction of it, you may want to check your heart. Because one of the greatest signs that you're saved is that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. The second part of knowing that you're truly saved is you have a desire to obey. Remember the verse that said, you're a liar if you don't obey my commands. If you claim to know Christ, but you don't obey his commands, we're a liar. And then the second reason why we don't sometimes give up to take a temptation, we simply don't know that what we're doing is sin. Many of you guys are new Christians. Praise God. Many of you guys haven't been in church in a while. Praise God that you're here. But some of you don't know simply what sin is, what it looks like. And we encourage you to study the Word so that you can recognize sins so that you don't fall into the take of temptation. And then the other one was we continue to be self-centered instead of Christ-centered. Remember that? Why don't we stop drinking from the take of temptation? Because we're still self-centered instead of Christ-centered. And then the fourth one was the world or the culture says it's okay. We continue to drink from the cistern of sin because the world says it's okay. The culture says, hey, that's no big deal. Just keep doing that. That's no big deal. It's not going to hurt you. Sounds to me like the devil. Remember that? The snake in the garden? Oh, he's not going to judge you. Oh, he's not going to kick you out of the garden. Oh, really? Remember that? Well, the world has blurred the line of right and wrong for so long. They blurred the line on what is good and what is bad, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. But here's the truth for us as Christians. Listen, we have to live countercultural. Countercultural. And you say, well, what does that look like? It looks like sometimes it's tough. I mean, most of the time it's kind of tough. Because it looks like sometimes you're trying to walk against that 50-mile-an-hour wind that we had yesterday. Remember? I mean, how many of you guys went to Walmart yesterday? Okay, how many of you guys saw the carts flying across the parking lot? Anybody? Yeah, tagged my truck, got a scratch this long. Really good. But here's the deal. Oftentimes when we go against the culture, it's like walking into that 50-mile-an-hour wind. It's tough. It's not for the faint at heart. It's not for the weak sticks. It's not for the pansies. It's for Christians who desire to please God. And so, again, we are looking at, and we're going to try to start this today, we're looking at how we can live countercultural. And here's how we learn how to live countercultural. Right here. This is it. You want to know how to live countercultural? The Word of God shows us how to live countercultural. And we're going to look at some issues in the next few weeks that again, may be offensive to some, maybe even offensive to you because you've listened to the culture so long that you think the culture is right when the Word of God says that the culture is wrong. And so we're going to expose some of those things today. Well, in the next few weeks. Today I want to continue my series on you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink by exposing a lie that our culture has fed us. You ready? How many of you guys are taking notes? Raise your hand. Let's give them a hand. Good job. Give them a hand. I mean, we got spiral pads out. We got number two pencils, big cheap tablets. Anybody remember those? That's my culture right there. Big cheap tablets. Well, if you're taking notes, here is the lie that the culture has fed us. You ready? Here's what the culture said. Your faith is your faith. So don't be sharing that Christian stuff with me or with anybody else because nobody wants to hear it. Let me say it again. This is the lie that the culture has fed us. Your faith is your faith, so don't be sharing that Christian stuff with me or anybody else because nobody wants to hear it. Can I just declare to you today, because I know, because I have visited with people in this world, they desire to hear it. We've bought into the lie that the culture says, don't be shoving that stuff down my throat. And listen, again, the world says, you serve Buddha, you serve Muhammad, you're a Muslim, we tolerate you, we'll let you serve whoever you want, but you say the name of Jesus, and guess what? You better get back. And you know what I'm saying to you? I ain't going to get back. You know how I know that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? Is because he is not liked by the world. Anything that the world embraces is probably not of God. Anything that the world opposes is probably of God. Think about it. And so, how do we live counterculture? We have to stop buying into the lie that people don't want to hear it. And the tragedy is, many of us as Christians, we cower down like a dog to the culture. Now, here's the deal. Hopefully today, you'll be encouraged and equipped not to be a coward, not to be a pansy, not to walk away going, oh, I'm not ever going to share my faith because they don't want to hear it. Now, hopefully today, you'll realize that people desire to hear it. They just want to hear it in a particular way. And we'll get to that in just a second. I want to define two words that you may hear in the church, and a lot of times we as Christians, we assume that you understand those words. And here at Thousand Hills, we have stopped assuming that people understand our Christianese that we talk all the time. And we're here to explain the basic terms and what they mean. The first term is one of our core beliefs, and it's this: evangelism. Maybe you guys don't know what that word is, and that's okay. Evangelism. Evangelism is the duty and the privilege of all Christians to share their faith with the world. So if I say we're going to be an evangelistic church, that means we are committed to sharing our faith with the lost world. And you say, well, I've heard this word witness. What does that mean? If I go out and I witness, that is the actual act of verbalizing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not only an act, or it's not only verbalizing it, it needs to be actions as well, amen? It can't be just, hey, you need to know Jesus. We have to live it out so that they can see it in our lives and that they can come to know Christ. So evangelism is the duty and the privilege that we have as all Christians to share our faith with others, and witnessing is the act of sharing that faith. Well, I want to revisit a passage that we looked at a couple weeks ago. And it's in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And it'll be on the screen if we can click it. There you go. Good job, buddy. Thanks, Tanner. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. Follow along as I read it. It says this. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Flow from within him. There's some alternative versions. How many of you guys have like a King James Version Bible? Anybody got one? How many of you guys have the NIV? How many of you guys have the ESV? Anybody have the ESV? New American Standard? Anybody have that one? How about the Message? Anybody bring the Message? Got the Message over here? If you guys don't know what we're talking about, there's different versions of the Bible, different interpretations, I guess you could say. But I have the NIV and the King James Version all in one Bible, which is kind of neat. But let me read this verse, the last part of this, verse 38 in the ESV, the English Standard Version. It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The King James Version, if you have it, it says, out of his what? Belly. My belly's full. But out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And here's how the Message reads. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me in this way. I don't know about you, but I have a windmill in my house. How many of you guys got a windmill at your house? Anybody? Okay. I don't know a whole lot about windmills, and I don't want to know a whole lot about windmills. Amen? Because if I learn about windmills, then that means I can fix them. How many of you guys are scared of heights? How many of you guys are scared to climb a windmill tower? Okay, I am scared to climb it because it kind of sways back and forth and all that stuff. So I had my buddy Jason change the little in mine. He had one of those belts, you know, like a, what do you call them? Lineman? Yeah, a lineman's belt. So he came and did mine. But here's the deal. We have a windmill at our house. And the previous owner, let me step back. A windmill, I don't know a whole lot about windmills. I know that the wind blows, and the pump pumps, and the water comes up, and it fills the tank. That's all I know, and that's all I want to know. But here's the deal. At our windmill, the previous owner of our property, he trenched a line. He had an overflow spout in the tank. He trenched a line to his garden. okay? Because he was, I guess, kind of tight, and he didn't want to, you know, pump the water out of the actual electric pump. So he made an overflow out of the tank, and his pipe goes straight to the garden. So not only did it water the tank and feed the livestock, it also watered the plants in the garden where he planted his fruit trees and his tomato plants and all that stuff. Well, here's the point. Spiritually speaking, as believers, listen, we are not only to drink of the living water, but we are to be the window that God pumps the living water through to a thirsty world. We are to be that window that God pumps the living water through a thirsty world, overflowing so that others may, so that we can bear the fruit of souls. You get it? We are to allow God to work through us, not just in us. Look at verse 38 again. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will what? Flow what? From within him. Not only is it saying that we are to receive the living water into our lives, we are to allow it to flow through us so that others can come to Christ. And let me just stop and say this. I want to encourage this church, and I want to commend this church, because here's the deal. Some of you have got it. Some of you, you not only read your Bible, but you live it out. Some of you are passionate about Christ, and you share that with others. There is evidence after evidence that you're sharing your faith. And can I just applaud you and say thank you for being bold enough to share your faith with people? I applaud you as a pastor. Yeah. Give him a hand. Listen, the Bible teaches us that we have opportunities day in and day out to share the word of God and to be a witness. But here's the truth. Some of us in the room, we've accepted Christ. We've allowed him to work in us, but it's hard for us to allow God to work through us. Maybe you've never experienced that. And you say, well, how? How can I allow God to work through us? Again, as a pastor, oftentimes I think we challenge you to do something, but we don't equip you to do it. We say, go get them, but we don't tell you how to go get them. Well, here's the deal. How do we share our faith? How do we have the strength and the power to do that? What enables us to do this? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Not only does this idea of living water represent the washing and cleansing that takes place in our hearts when we give our hearts to Christ, but it also represents the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember we had that deep thirst that all of us have, and we try to quench it with the things of this world, but when we give our lives to Christ and we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, that thirst is satisfied forever because we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. But some of you, again, you've received it, but you've not allowed God to work through you. And we've bought into the lie of that the culture says that don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that Jesus stuff. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a rodeo, but I know many of you guys have. How many of you guys have ever not showed up for rodeo after you've entered it? Anybody? You entered the rodeo and you didn't show up. Anybody? Well, if you've been to a rodeo and you've seen where people, let's say the announcer calls out a name and they're not there, what does he say? First call, second call, and then he says no show, and then he calls out another name, right? That's called forfeiting your run. Listen. Can I just declare to you something? I think a lot of churches are losing the battle for the souls of the lost because we haven't shown up to make a ride. We're losing the battle by forfeit. Because we won't show up and share the good news of Jesus Christ and how he saved our lives. We won't show up. Listen, it's time that we show up and we start battling for the souls of man. I did some research on unchurched people. You know, the key word in our purpose statement is we are here to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I did some research, and it's by a group called Lifeway. It's Lifeway Research. Some of the results are sobering, and some of them are encouraging for our church. But the question is, what the unchurched are saying about the church? Listen to this. Here's what they're saying. Most unchurched say they have a good relationship with God. This is the unchurched we're talking about. Most of the unchurched, which 86%, say they believe that they can have a good relationship with God without belonging to a church. These are the people we're trying to reach. Listen to this. And 79% say Christianity today is more about organized religion than loving God and loving people. That's what they're saying about us. Here's what else the unchurched say. The unchurched say that the churches are not loving people. These outsiders are making a clear comment that churches are not getting through on the two greatest commandments, by the way, that the unchurched know. They know these great commandments. It's just so funny to me. They know them, and the church doesn't know them. Maybe we know them, but we don't act on them. Let me say that again. The outsiders are making a clear comment that churches are not getting through on the two greatest commandments. Does anybody know what they are? Love who? Yeah, love God, and love what? Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. When they look at churches, this is the unchurched, when they look at churches, they don't see people living out their faith. Listen to this. The one-on-one approach is more attractive. People don't go to institutions to get there to fix their problems. Listen to what else they say. They say that you need to be personal and authentic. Listen to this. Most people have already heard the basic Christian message. The question for evangelism now is this. Do you have a method or a purpose that is authentic and engaging in a way that works for the unchurched? Listen, and I don't know that I believe all that, but here's what I do believe. I believe that we need to change our methods to reach the unchurched. And you say, that's what we're doing, and you're right. We've changed the method of breaking down some religious barriers so that we can reach the unchurched. In other words, here's the question. Is your method of reaching the unchurched relevant? And I praise God that Thousand Hills Ranch Church, in my mind and in my heart, I believe we're relevant for our culture. Amen? Here's what else this says. Despite their negative opinions about the institutional church, most unchurched people are open to discussing spiritual matters with a friend. The research has shown, listen to this, 78% of those surveyed said they would be willing to listen to someone talk about their Christian beliefs. The number rose, listen to this, the number rose to 89% among adults 18 to 29 years of age. 18 to 29 years of age say that they are more than willing to sit down with a friend and talk about their Christian beliefs. Listen to what else it says. It says only 28% of adults 30 years and older said they think Christians they know talk to them too much about their beliefs. Only 28% said that. And then here's the last one. 78% of adults 30 years and older said they would enjoy an honest conversation with a friend about religious and spiritual beliefs, even if they disagreed with the friend. I don't know about you, but that just dispels the lie that the culture is feeding us. They are willing to talk with a Christian friend about his spiritual beliefs. They're willing to talk. Listen, here's the truth I want you to get out of that. They're willing to talk, but the church, for some reason, I can't get 50% of the church to open their mouths to share their faith with the lost world that's ready to hear it. They're ready to talk, but we're not. The hope of this world is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the local church that is called to share that message. It's not the school. It's not the government. It's the church. This church and other churches are the tool that God uses to reach the world that is destined for hell without Christ. It's the church. And you say, well, that can't be true, Bo. The Cowboys and Capitals I know aren't interested in talking about Jesus. Look around. There are people in here that you would have never thought would come through these doors. And they're here today because someone invited them. There are people that come to our church just to see those people that they never thought would come to church. To see if lightning strikes. You know? So here's the deal. How many guys were, you came to church because you were invited? Raise your hand. It's okay. Everybody. Yeah. How many of you guys came to Christ, you accepted Christ in your life because somebody shared Christ with you? Pretty much the majority. All we have to do is look around. Are they ready to hear it? Yes, they are. And Jesus said it in John chapter 4. It'll be on the screen. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 36. It says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." You know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, allow the living water to flow from within you. Open your eyes. There are souls that are ready to be harvested. See the people that are without Christ. Sow seeds of truth in their life. Work hard, pray hard, and reap a harvest. That's what he's telling us to do. You know what the key is in doing this, especially nowadays? It's called being a friend. Think about it. The world will not listen to someone that's just going to shove Jesus down their throat. But they will listen to a friend. And can I just tell you something? You are not a true friend if you haven't shared the gospel with some of your friends. I've never understood that. People are like, I don't want to lose my friendship with that person. I don't want to make things awkward. Listen, do you think it's going to be awkward in hell? There have been people that I have shared my faith with that they didn't accept it at first, but eventually, because I was bold enough and loved them enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, eventually, because I was still their friend, even though they didn't believe, they came around and they said, "Bo, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. You didn't push it down my throat. You didn't shove it in my face. You didn't hit me upside with the Bible. You just shared the love of Jesus with me, and I'm ready to accept him into my life." They want us to be their friend. If we don't love them and show them the grace and mercy, they will not listen. If we are true believers that live out what we believe, they will not listen. Did you realize that the world is really good at spotting hypocrites? They're really good at it. And so again, if you're going to share it, I encourage you to live it. And you say, well, Bob, that counts me out. I'm not living it, so I guess I can't share with anyone. No. You can't get out of it. Listen, there is a key word that maybe you're a Christian and you're not living it, and you think, well, I can't share my faith. Here's a key word: repent. If you're a Christian here today and you're living in a sin, you can repent. And you say, well, what does that mean? I call it the rollback of repentance. You know when you're riding your horse and you stop him at a slide and then you roll back and you take off again. It's the same way. When we repent of our sins, we're going toward our sin, we're drinking from the temptation of sin, and we turn to God, and we say, okay, God, I need you to forgive me of my sin, and I want to live for you. Some of you need to repent and ask God to forgive you so that you can be used by God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He can forgive you if you will confess it. Teenagers, I want to speak to you for just a second. All you teenagers. Listen, God wants to use you. He wants to use you in your school. He wants to use you in your home. You say, I don't have Christian parents. My parents are jerks. My dad left. Listen, he wants to use you to reach your father. And he can use you to reach your father. You know how he can? You give your heart to Christ. You live for Christ. And hopefully, Lord willing, and pray for your father or your mother, whoever it is, they will see Christ in you and they will want it. I've seen it 100 times. Young adults, those of you that are maybe 18 to 29 or 18 to 30, listen, God wants to use you. There is a culture that you're a part of that is open to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they want to hear from you. Middle-aged adults, I don't know who that is, that's me, I think. 34 to... I'm going to get in trouble. Middle-aged adults, God wants to use you. I'm just going to stop right there. God wants to use you. It's not too late. You say, well, all my friends are set in their ways. They turned down Jesus so many times, now they're not ever going to do it. No. And again, if you shared with them, maybe you just need to sit back and just pray. They don't need to hear it 45 times. Senior adults, ages that are wonderful, God can even use you. You think, some of you guys, some of you adults, senior adults, I put my time in. I taught that class for 20 years. I served as an elder. Listen, you're not done yet. God can use you, and he wants to use you. And so here's my last question. Have you cowered to the culture? Are you buying into the lie that no one wants to hear the truth? Are you worried more about what man thinks than what God thinks? Are you a windmill that allows God to pump living water through you so that others can drink of God's goodness and salvation? Are you that windmill? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. This past summer, we had a baptism. We baptized 15 people that either had never been baptized, but they had committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Don't tell me they don't want to hear it. How many of you guys, when nobody's looking around, how many of you guys would raise your hand and say, I have a friend who doesn't know Jesus Christ personally? How many of you guys would raise your hand and say that? I have a friend who doesn't know Christ. Thank you. Anybody else? I have a friend that doesn't know Christ. Some of you guys, can I just pick on you for a minute? Those of you that didn't raise your hand that you don't have a friend that knows Christ, you need to get one. For so many Christians, we only have Christian friends. And can I just encourage you as a believer in Jesus, follow Jesus' example and become a friend of sinners. Those of you that raised your hand and you said, you know what, though, I do have a friend who doesn't know Christ. He's not a follower of Christ or she's not a follower of Christ. How many of you guys would commit to me today and say, commit to God today and say, you know what? If God will give me the opportunity, I will share my faith with them. How many of you guys would commit to say that? By raising your hand, you said, I got a friend who doesn't know Christ. If God will give me the opportunity, I will share with them. All across the room. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Now here's the scary truth. You're going to get an opportunity. Because God is so good. And if you're willing, He will open up the door. So be ready. Can I just encourage you, those of you that are bold enough to say, you know what, if God will give me an opportunity, I'll share my faith. Can I tell you, you need to get on your knees. And you need to prepare that opportunity with prayer. And you say, okay, God, maybe it's tomorrow at work. I want to take advantage of my boss's time. But if it's tomorrow at our lunch break, or if it's tomorrow after work, or if it's at school, if it's on, you know, the ball field, wherever it is, Lord, I want you to prepare me, give me the words to say, so that I can share my faith with my prayer. Many of you guys say, you know what, Bob, I don't know how. I don't know what to say. Listen, that's why you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. And if you want to know verses, get on our website. Underneath the Howdy tab, you will see Trail to Salvation. Click on it, and it will give you the verses that you need so that you can share the Word of God with those people. We are here to equip you to reach the world because they're ready to hear it. Just for a minute, I want to ask all of you, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, just to pray for a lost person. No, it doesn't matter who it is. That means you may not even know them. It may be the Walmart teller or the gas station attendant, whatever it is. Just pray for that person, whoever the Lord lays on your heart. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for each person that's in this barn. And Lord, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for the Christians that are in this room. I thank you for their desire to please you. And I pray that you would just give them the opportunities to share their faith with a lost person. May it not just be a week challenge, but may it be a life challenge. To share their faith with their friends so that their friends can hear the truth and be set free. Lord, may what we do in here fill the streets out there. And may it be for your glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here.